The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a really cool show today for you. Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst on the draft next week, what the Cardinals should do. What is his view of Tua? Seth is always outspoken. He's just launched his own podcast and also has his own website now, SethJoyner.com. He had Charles Barkley yesterday for a full hour, so I want to have Seth on to talk about what he's doing personally and then professionally around the draft, all things around that front. Tony Davis is going to be with us at 10:35. Tony Davis is Josh Christopher's high school basketball coach. Josh Christopher commits to ASU. A lot of buzz, a lot of hype, but I want to know from the head basketball coach. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and just say, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. Got it. We hype up enough. It's, okay, what makes this kid tick? What did he have to get better at? Who does he remind Tony Davis of as a pro player? I'm not big on that question because I think it puts undue pressure on kids, but I know a lot of you want to know, so I will ask. So we'll have Tony Davis with us, and then Eric has his 2020 vision. We continue to honor high school kids in their senior year, put them on the stream, talk to them a little bit, or show the video of them of what they've gone through. It's our little way here on our show every day to do all of that. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. This afternoon, I've got two people that I'm going to talk to about Sagicor Now, two people on their life insurance, two families that have said, we don't really have everything together the way that we need. We need to get some answers. I have my license. I'm able to help them out, or just simply direct them to sagicornow.com. If you've thought about your future and getting everything handled, Peace Assured is a great product to take a look at. Yeah, it's unfortunate. None of us get out of here alive last time I checked. Peace Assured covers that, those immediate costs. It's a smart way to put together your program for your family. Protect what matters most, guys. That's with life insurance. If you don't come home tonight, is everything going to be handled the way you want? And that's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. Eric joins us. Who is on your 2020 vision, first and foremost?
Today, Brad, it's good to see you, first off. We are going to talk with Blake Gomez, offensive lineman from Verado. He is an NAU signee. He's also the younger brother of Maverick Gomez, who's a quarterback over at Arizona Christian. So it'll be good to catch up with Blake. What we're trying to do is we're trying to spread the wealth a little bit, do a little West Valley, do a little Southeast Valley. We went to Tucson last week, talked to Bruno Fina. So we want to try to be equal opportunity 2020 vision representatives on this show.
Okay, I think the big headline today is Dr. Fauci coming out and saying that sports can return. It just has to be in empty stadiums. And anybody that wants to fight that, what are you talking about? Like, it seems to me that for him to come out today and say, yes, sports can return, it just has to be in empty stadiums, that there has to be some executives jumping up and down for joy. There's probably sports owners that are not jumping up and down for joy. The bigger dollar, though, comes in from TV. No offense to you fans. No offense, what I'm about to say. In the grand scheme of things, to pad an owner's backside, you don't mean nearly as much, not even close financially, with your season tickets, as opposed to you sitting down and boosting that ratings point higher and higher and higher. Just understand, it's far more important from a business to open a building, to bring in a bunch of fans, to run the risk of one person passing it around, or a vendor, or a hot dog guy, to have anything go wrong at all, versus, hey, the game's on tonight as we continue to self-quarantine. So to me, with Fauci saying this is the way to go, then let's do it. This isn't that hard.
Two things. I had a nice chat with our friend Chili over at Arizona Varsity last night, and we discussed, in terms of media members, how it's going to impact our job. Like, I care, because this is what this is what you and I do for a living.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Secondly, a buddy of mine texted me this morning, one of my friends from TCU. You know, I get 18 weeks vacation through you, so thank you. He said, so if there's a football season, but we can't go to the stadium, will you still fly out here so you and I can still experience the game from my living room? I mean, that's the reality, Brad. I totally agree. If you want sports back in any capacity, we may not be seeing it live. It all might be on TV. And I'm okay with that.
Well, there's streaming, there's radio, there's Twitter. There's all sorts of ways that it can be consumed. But I think, you know, the biosphere being in the idea of here in Arizona, now it takes an added step that you have Dr. Fauci saying, let's do this. You have Donald Trump saying, we want to get back to having games being played. Okay, so who is really going to stand in the way of this now that you have the medical side saying, we need to get back to it? And I know in the grand scheme of things, when you have 16 million Americans that filed for unemployment in the last 3 weeks, 16 million, and that number is only going to grow, and stimulus checks are starting to be mailed out, it's fine for a little bit. There's got to be something for people to grab onto where psychologically they can say, okay, tonight I'm going to get to see so-and-so pitch against so-and-so. I don't care if the NBA or the NHL come back sooner, because I get that that's a tougher deal. I get that. I get that. I want to see the NBA. Don't get me wrong. I want to see next year Arizona State basketball now they have Josh Christopher. I get all that. But for baseball, I think that is one that could come back sooner than later. There's just things like, are both hands going to have gloves on them? I think that's a pretty basic, very fair question.
And let's call a spade here, Brad. When we're talking about college athletics, the college football rose the boat for the rest of the athletic programs. Yesterday, the University of Cincinnati just cut their soccer program. That is going to be the new norm when it comes to, we are going to scale back. Those TV dollars, the schools need those desperately. Desperately, because without the TV deal, not only does it impact the football program, it impacts every other program within the university.
Well, you look at those conferences that announced this yesterday, Eric, and that before Fauci, that was my lead item, was, okay, Mid-American, the American, it was not the Pac-12 yet. It
wasn't all the SEC yet. The group of five schools and the Power Five schools are in completely different boats. So
right. But eventually, if sports doesn't come back, even those schools, I mean, the Pac-12 network just laid off a bunch of people. And it will impact those schools eventually. I'm still of the opinion that ASU needs to get out of the Pac-12. That's been a long stance that I've had. And maybe this will be the front end of other conference realignments and conferences going out of business and colleges saying we simply cannot afford to do athletics. The Mountain West was one of those conferences yesterday that asked for relief because the Mountain West simply cannot make it function financially. So it's not like some little conference back east. It's all across the country now.
Agree.
So Seth Joyner is going to be with us on the other side. Then we'll have Josh Christopher's high school coach. Eric will have 2020 vision. That is all straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, it's time to check in with yet another friend of the show, and just a friend in general, and that is Seth Joyner. We've been doing this over the last month as guys are housebound and they cannot get out, and yet here we are with the NFL draft right around the corner. Seth has his podcast, and I will just say, friend to friend, it's good to see you grinding through, and now it looks like it is blowing up. You had Charles Barkley on recently. Just tell me first and foremost, how are you doing, you and family, with health, and B, podcast? What's going on?
Everybody is doing well family-wise. I think we're actually lucky here in Arizona that we live in a place where it's not as condensed population-wise as it is, you know, in the major cities back east, because everybody back east is like completely shut down. The only problem here in Arizona is that, you know, you can't go anywhere. You know, so every day is like Groundhog's Day. And then, you know, really the only thing that's booming is the golf. You know, golf is wide open. So, I mean, I'm having a blast. Just the fact that, you know, every day I can either go to the range and hit balls or I can get out and play 18. As far as the podcast is concerned, you know, we just launched it. Yesterday we taped our fifth our fifth podcast. You know, I had Charles Barkley on yesterday. I think it's supposed to air today around noon or so, noon Eastern time, I believe, or later. But having him on, you know, we had an hour show, him and I, we chopped it up for 40 minutes, if you can believe that, 40, 45 minutes. And really is the perfect time for us to, you know, to really launch it and launch, you know, my new website, SethJoyner.com, because, you know, everybody's home now. Everybody's looking for some content. Everybody's looking for something, you know, so it was a perfect time, and I'm really excited about us growing and moving forward.
Well, first of all, 40 minutes with Charles Barkley, I bet the over-under was two questions you got in 40 minutes.
No, it was really interesting, and I think we probably could have burned the whole show. But we had other stuff that was going on. We had, you know, an ad read that I had to do, and, you know, callers that called in. There was so much that I just had to cut it off where I cut it off, but we could have burned the whole hour easy.
That's great. That's SethJoyner.com. Seth Joyner with us for a couple of minutes. With the draft now upon us, what intrigues you most about this draft, Seth?
Well, I think this is the most wide receiver rich draft that we've seen, you know, that could possibly ever have seen. You know, only time will tell how some of these guys that get drafted will pan out. But, you know, when you look at the amount of wide receivers, I mean, talented, you know, potential good to great wide receivers in this draft. I mean, you could probably find a starter somewhere on day two, in the second, third round of this draft. I've never seen anything like it. Never.
When you hear all the conversation about, well, this year's draft, these GMs are going to be working from home. They have not had much time to see guys in person, haven't had the interviews. We may have mistakes. We may lose our job over this. I just kind of look at it and say, tough. Work a little bit harder. I don't want to hear anything in the middle of a pandemic of how inconvenienced you are about having an NFL draft.
Yeah, but Brad, you know how it is. You know, people don't like uncomfortability. And this whole social distancing thing, this whole stay at home, is making people really, really uncomfortable. You know, it's inciting this thing of fear. And when people can't operate the way that they normally operate, you know, they just get bent out of shape. Listen, they're going to make some mistakes anyway. You know, yeah. None of these scouts and none of these GMs are foolproof. You know, they draft a player, you know, every two or three years that they probably shouldn't draft, that they misread, that they didn't evaluate properly. I don't think the evaluation process of being able to see a guy, because he's going to tell you what he wants to tell you anyway. The proof of what he is and what he's going to be lies in what you see on the film, you know, and your ability to evaluate, you know, how much he actually loves the game. I talk about it all the time. These guys, these kids, they can go to the combine. They can, you know, they can improve their numbers. They can fudge the system. They learn how to fudge the system. They hire a top-notch trainer. They, you know, eat all the right food for 2.5 months. They train. They're jumping higher than they ever jumped in their life. They're running faster. All the things that impress the scouts. But for me, turn on the game film. And I'm not even talking about their best plays. I don't even want to see a highlight reel. What I want to see is how you act and react in adverse situations. I don't need to see the game where you're blowing out your opponent. I want to see when you're losing how you act. Do you still play with the same energy? You know, does the game still have the same importance to you when things aren't going that way? If you're a wide receiver and you only got two targets that day, how do you act and react? I want to see how you work out, you know, in the off season. If you've got 10 reps and you get to 8 and you're burnt, do you ask your trainer to help you spot you through the last two, or do you just rack it? You know, if you're supposed to run 10 hundreds, and you get gassed at 7. Do you finish 10 or do you stop at 7? See, those are the types of things that tells you a lot about a player. So, you know, up until this point in time, the NFL people, they should have done their homework and they should have that kind of information. So I guess I'm kind of in your camp, you know, cry me a river.
One player, Seth Joyner, I want to talk about with you, and it's not breaking it down right or left. It's Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback at Alabama. So it's fine to take a flyer on a player if you know that, okay, we may not need this guy for a year or two. It's another when it's a top five, top 10 pick. If you've got your general manager's hat on, based on what you've heard, what you've known, what you've read, what you've seen on Tua, what would you do if you're sitting there around four or five in this year's draft and you needed a quarterback?
If I need a quarterback,
yes,
then he is the guy that I'm taking, because I don't understand. I think Gil Brandt yesterday came out and said, oh, you know, I would definitely take Justin Herbert over Tua. And I asked myself, I'm like, what in the world is he thinking? What have you been watching the last 2 years? Okay. No one plays football without getting injured. And if you, even if you haven't been injured in college or seriously injured, by the time you get to the NFL, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to have an injury. That's just the nature of the game. Okay. Right. So now, he stepped the wrong way. The guy fell on him. He dislocated his hip. Okay. He's had what? 5-6 months to heal up. Do you think the guy's not going to heal up? Did the doctors, was the prognostication from the doctor ever that he'll never be the same? That this guy needs to retire. He can never play football again. No. Okay. So then with that, when you bear that in mind, let's go back to the tape. What do you see? Yeah, he's had some weapons. He's had great weapons, okay? But the kid can make every throw. He's a mobile quarterback from the standpoint that, you know, when he needs to run, he can get out of the pocket. He can manipulate the pocket. He's extremely smart. I like Joe Burrow and what he did. But at the end of the day, he only showed it to us for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Tua stepped in the fourth quarter of the national championship game and won the game for Alabama. Then he followed up the next 2 years with just stellar quarterback play. I don't understand why it is everybody has this issue and this problem. If I'm a GM and he's sitting there, to me, he's the most proven, talented, best quarterback in the NFL right now. And you know, Joe Burrow is right there behind him, but mm-hmm. Joe Burrow has only showed it to me for 1 year. It's almost like Mitchell Trubisky. And I know you can't make the comparison because of what he did, but Mitchell Trubisky started 13 games in college, you know, and he was this prospect, and the Chicago Bears moved up to take him.
Yeah.
And now, and when they had Deshaun Watson and some of these other guys sitting right there, okay? So I'm like, come on, don't be dumb. Just, you know, just make the smart decision. You know, the guy has been injured, and even if he's not ready this year, even if you make the decision that you're going to redshirt him, you know the potential of what he's going to be.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with Seth Joyner. Go over to SethJoyner.com. He's launched his podcast. He's got content over there. Appreciate Seth, as always, with us. The Cardinals, with the draft coming up at number 8, they get DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of rocks. No offense to David Johnson. But you look at their offseason, and what makes sense to you at number 8 for the Cardinals in the draft?
As bad as they were on the defensive side of the football last year, at number 8, they've got an opportunity to solidify their offensive line. That is an area. If you're gonna go out and get the capital to help Kyler Murray be the type of quarterback that you want him to be in the future, then your number one priority is building around him and making sure that he doesn't have to run for his life to do his job. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game, then the smart thing to do is build your offensive line with surefire guys that can protect him and get it done. They need help on the defensive side of the ball. There's no doubt about it. And they've got to improve from a talent standpoint. But I find it hard to believe that they draft anything other than an offensive lineman at number 8. And there are some good tackles, you know, the 3 good tackles right there that they have to choose from. I think it would be a travesty and a mistake as far as Kyler Murray is concerned. And all that they did to, you know, get rid of Josh Rosen in position at one. You make the decision, you know, to move on. The first time in the history of the draft, probably, that a team has drafted two quarterbacks in back-to-back years in the first round, you have to solidify this situation for Kyler Murray at eight, in my opinion.
It's always good seeing you. Glad you're safe. Congratulations on the podcast. Thanks for the time, as always, Seth. Stay well.
Anytime, my friend. Take care.
There's Seth Joyner joining us via Skype, and we continue on after this timeout. All right. Overwhelmingly, the responses here in the Arizona sports scene in the last 24 hours have not been about baseball and the potential of a biosphere for all major league teams. No, it's been about Josh Christopher going to Arizona State. It's been about the Sun Devils and Bobby Hurley landing a player that they've never had at a level with five stars, if you're ones that go by the star systems. And I looked at it and said, okay, let's go a little bit deeper on this. And let's bring on board somebody who would know inside and out rather than media hype, and that would be his head coach, Tony Davis, with Mayfair High School. He joins us for a couple of minutes on what exactly Arizona State is getting in Josh Christopher when you put all the hype to the side. Coach, it's Brad Susmat. How are you?
All right, and you? Thank you for having me.
I'm great. Obviously, a lot of excitement about Josh, so let's just get right to that question. What are we getting here in Arizona at Arizona State and Josh Christopher?
I think first and foremost, an outstanding young man who will represent the university well. And then on the floor, very competitive kid who wants to win above all else.
When did you first come in contact with him? First time?
Well, my first time, he was probably 2 or 3 years old. I got into coaching, and my first year as a volunteer assistant, his oldest brother, Patrick, was a junior in high school, and I happened to be on that staff. So Josh and Caleb were running around after games during that period of time. But we kind of reconnected going into his eighth grade summer. When they enrolled into our middle school, high school combo campus.
Okay. So it's a 7-12 high school, Mayfair?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's great. So did you know immediately off of eyeball test of wow, or when did you first look at him on the court and say, oh my goodness?
No, he was talented. I don't think I understood how talented he was going to be. But we knew he was going to be a good player his freshman year for us. He was co-MVP of our team and co-MVP of our league. But he really made that jump going early on in the sophomore season where he started doing some things. And we started saying to our staff, amongst our staff, we got something special here.
Mm. And first time that you sat with him and said, you know, you could do more than just high school, or did he already know that?
No, I had him as an eighth grader in my PE class, and I knew he was a basketball junkie. I knew he came from a basketball family, and I had him write down a list of what his goals were when he got to high school, what things he wanted to accomplish, and kind of, you know, what was it going to take. Mm-hmm. And so we knew he had those goals early, and he just pushed himself and was able to get to that level.
Tony Davis is Josh Christopher's high school coach at Mayfair High School. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Arizona State landing the five-star talent earlier this week. Okay, so from a coachability standpoint, it sounds like that was all there. What was it when you looked at him, Tony, that you said, you know, Josh, you've got to get better at this on the court? Just technically, you've got to get better at this.
I think just like a lot of young players, defensively. Everybody sees the highlight clips of what you can do on the offensive end of the floor and not understanding necessarily the schemes. But he had a high basketball IQ, but for him it was more of consistent focus, consistent effort on the defensive end. And I think as he got older, he got a lot better and more consistent and became one of our defensive leaders this past season.
He was one of those guys then that would look across the court and say, I want that guy, not I'll just take whoever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's some moments where we had to wait and not be able to put him on the person for the entire game because we needed him to go and produce on the other end of the floor. But at the same time, we'd be in practice or in film or during the school day, he would come up to me and he'd been thinking about the game and he'd be like, "Coach, I want this guy." Or yeah, we put him on, or he's not going to do anything.
What about the first time colleges showed an interest? Do you remember the first letter, the first coach that dropped by the school? How did that work?
I want to say it was sometime during his freshman season. Again, having his older brother, Patrick, having gone through the process and had played at Cal, and Caleb and Josh both having visited Cal when they were younger just to support Patrick, the coaches in the school knew about them. So they were already kind of in touch and just checking in on them and starting that process.
First time you heard from Arizona State in regards to Josh?
I want to say maybe sometime during his sophomore year or junior year, during that time period.
Mm-hmm. And did Bobby, do you remember when Bobby came to games, how many games, first time he came to watch him play in person, Bobby Hurley?
The first time I remember Bobby being at a game, I think it was during Josh's junior year, and they've been to quite a few over the last two, and it, you know, really didn't matter the location. If they had a break, they were up there whenever they could, or obviously this past season, Josh and his family would go down and support Caleb, so they got to interact then as well.
Tony, was there a point where you had to sit him down and say, "Hey, man, take a break on this whole recruiting thing. Don't put so much pressure on yourself"? And I ask that because some kids get completely overwhelmed with the process. Some guys get pulled all different directions because they have a number of stars next to their name or they're rated on some list. Some guys thrive on it. How did he handle all this buildup to get to where he did earlier this week?
I think he did a tremendous job. He also wasn't a guy who was there as an incoming ninth grader. So he kind of gradually and then made a jump and kind of got put up into that stratosphere of the five-star stuff. But it was never overwhelming. I think the family did a tremendous job of letting the coaches know they were going to do it at their pace and their speed. They let them kind of know if they were interested early in the situation or not. And having, again, a couple older siblings who have gone through the process, they knew what was coming. They knew kind of what to expect or what coaches would say. So they were able to control it, I think, as best as one could.
Were you surprised when he announced Arizona State? Some were, many were not.
No, I knew throughout the process that they were a school he was looking at. I think their family atmosphere, I think being close to home, they're a very tight-knit family, the Christophers. So I think that played an important role in having people be his family and friends being able to come and watch him play. And then I think for his game, the fit, being able to get up and down, having some freedom as a guard, and then being coached hard is something I think he's looking forward to.
The coaching hard part, walk me through that a little bit further. Is that you? Is that Bobby? What do you see there?
I think he doesn't mind being pushed. I think he wants to be as good as he can be. So if a coach or somebody sees an avenue for him to get better, he's all ears. He's willing to work and dig a little bit harder because he wants, at the end of the day, he eventually wants to play in the NBA and understands that only the best of the best get there. And he's willing to do what he has to do to make himself the best complete player that he can be.
And one last question. This is from fans. I'm not usually big on asking for comps because I think it's unfair to the kid, but a lot of fans are saying, "Okay, Brad, who does he compare to?" So I'm asking his high school coach, who does he compare to?
I've heard a lot of things. I've heard some, and I don't want to take this out of context. I've heard some Kobe type things, just how competitive he is. I've heard Steve Francis. I've heard a little bit of James Harden. Just those combo guards that are able to handle the basketball and play point and create and score at all three different levels. And then defensively, he has the ability to guard multiple positions.
It's really good stuff. Anything else you want to add about him, Tony, before I let you go, that you're like, Brad, this is, in a nutshell, this is the kid that Arizona State's getting?
Again, I think you guys are getting a special kid, a special young man who has an outstanding heart, who wants what's best for himself and his family. But at the same time, when it comes to team, he's about maximizing and winning and wants to win a championship. And I think he wants to bring a championship, whether that be a Pac-12 championship or a national championship, down to Arizona State.
Good stuff there. I appreciate your time and your insight on Josh, and best of luck to you in the future, Coach. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
And we're back with more after this timeout.
Our 2020 Vision Series continues. Yesterday, we were happy to be joined by Michael Diaz, standout linebacker and outfielder with Brophy College Prep, who is on his way to Santa Clara on a baseball scholarship. Today, we're going to head out to the West Valley. Blake Gomez, Verado High School, the pride of the Vipers. He is an NAU signee. He joins us via Skype. Thank you so much, Blake. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, hanging in there, taking it day by day.
It's pretty much all we can do. Why don't you take us through your quarantined routine now that everything is sort of flipped upside down when it comes to the last semester of your senior year at Verado?
Absolutely. Normally start off my mornings, make some breakfast, get up and moving pretty early. I don't like to sleep in and waste a day. After that, I'll try to get some kind of workout in. The best I can, running, some calisthenics. Sometimes I'll find a weight room that I can get into in a garage or somewhere, but staying active as much as I can, and then just hanging out with my family, playing games, swimming, and just taking up the day. And then Monday through Friday, I got classes online, run through the classes, get that done out of the way as fast as I can, so I have as much time to help my family and just go through my time.
Okay. I need you to be honest with me. I know when we spoke last spring, you're a big family guy, but be truthful. Are you kind of getting sick of seeing the family? You know, you guys are not just hanging out a little bit. Now it's like a 24/7 deal.
Oh, yes, sir. We get on each other's nerves. We get on each other's nerves. We have our little fights and just sibling battles going on, and we're real competitive here. We'll play ping pong, and those games will get heated, and we'll get on his nerves. So, it's some days you just got to step away and have some time for yourself, or we'll be having brawls.
I gotcha. All right, let's circle back on these on the workouts. Is there something you're doing specifically when it comes to the cardio part? Are you like trying to get outside and hit some of those mountains right around Verado, or are you just doing some jogging?
Cardio, I'll try to get out, run some hills, run some sprints as best as I can. I've done a lot of distance the last couple weeks, just working up endurance. But I'll do sprints, jump rope, keep my feet fast, keep my heart racing.
All right, well, last week we had on Bruno Fina from South Point Catholic, so you're the second offensive lineman we've had. I didn't ask Bruno this, but I'm going to ask you this. How has quarantine eating been for you? Have you been able to you know, not completely destroy the refrigerator, or has that kind of become a common theme just because you're at home and, you know, you're a big guy and I'm sure you like to eat?
Yes, sir. It's a lot of food. I eat a lot of food throughout the day. Yes, sir. But yeah, a lot of food.
Okay, I gotcha. NAU, you decided to sign with the Lumberjacks. Obviously, that staff does an incredible job of recruiting the state. This year's NAU class is unbelievable. I haven't talked to you since you officially put pen to paper. Why Flagstaff your choice for school and for football for the next 4 years?
NAU just felt like home. The staff is wonderful. I mean, I felt connected as soon as I started talking to those guys. I wanted to be around them more. They're great coaches, really smart, great backgrounds. We're going up on the visits, talking to the guys. I felt like I meshed well. I felt like there were people I wanted to be around however much I'm going to be around them in the season. And those are just guys I want to play with, guys I would put my body through workouts, battles through a season for, and it just felt like family.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, last year, there was a coaching change. Sean Copeland came in, and I know in talking to some players previously, they thought that the culture sort of needed to be changed at Verado. I'm a big fan of Coach Copeland. I think he does a phenomenal job. Take us through what it was like playing for him your senior season.
Coach Copeland was a great guy. He came in, took charge, took over all the uncertainty leading into the season, made choices that needed to be made, like getting people in the spots they needed to be successful with captains and leadership roles and what that role was for the team and how those people can step up and lead the team to success, which was much needed.
So I know usually you do track as well as football. And in our conversations the last couple of days, you said that you weren't going to be doing track. You're going to focus on the football side your senior year. But how disappointing is it for some of your classmates who never got to finish their spring senior year of sports? A lot of the football players that we've had on in our 2020 Vision segment have said that they're so thankful they were able to finish their senior year of football before the pandemic came down. Have you been able to talk to some of your Verado classmates who kind of had the rug pulled out from under them when it came to sports?
Yes, sir. Some of my friends, are real close friends, play baseball, and their season had barely just beginning, and then it got stripped away from them, and they're devastated. I mean, it's like playing football. If my football senior season got taken away, I would be devastated. I would be mad. And I don't know what I would do, but
yeah, so
devastating.
Last question, Blake. Mentally, how are you doing with the pandemic and everything that's going on around you? This is hard for all of us, but I can't imagine being a high school senior or a high school sophomore and having to deal with what the world is going through right now. How are you dealing with it?
Well, first, when they canceled school after spring break, and as they started removing all the things that I was looking forward to, proms and graduations, that was like heartbreaking. That was what I was looking forward to. It was like the last final stretch of my high school career got taken away. It's like falling short. I was right about to get a touchdown. It was unreal at first. And then, I mean, it is what it is now. You got to get through it. You got to do it. You got to talk about it. It sucks. It really sucks. And after being able to finish out with your friends, being able to see them before you ship off to wherever you're going. So it was hard, but staying in communication with them, texting them, FaceTiming them, keeping the relationship still going has been really helpful, talking to my friends. So,
yeah, are you on TikTok?
No, sir.
No?
No.
No TikTok. All right.
No
All
TikTok.
Right. All right. Well, hey, it's great seeing you. You look good. Thank you so much for coming on today and continued success. And I know that you and I will be talking over the next 4 years when you're a Lumberjack, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Of course. That's Blake Gomez from Verado High School, our latest installment of 2020 Vision. We appreciate everyone that tuned in today to the Brad Sussmat Show. Brad will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m.